You're listening to The Caregiver's Corner, your trusted source for advice and insight for navigating the journey of aging and caregiving. Our podcast focuses on many of the questions, concerns, trends, and struggles older adults and caregivers face each day. Enjoy and learn from various contributors and guests with topics such as dementia, caregiving, end-of-life decisions, aging resources, and more. Thanks for tuning in, and here's your host, Matt Gallardo.
Thank you once again for tuning in to the Caregiver's Corner on SoundCloud. Today's topic is taken from a recent virtual presentation that I did entitled Caregiver Solutions. This is such an important topic, so I wanted to share it on the podcast. Now, whether you're a caregiver for a parent or an aging loved one or a spouse, you've likely experienced some challenges and frustrations. It's a very selfless and commendable act, but also can be very daunting and draining at times. Now, in my line of work, I see this quite often. So this presentation is geared towards those seeking options, resources, and support as caregivers, especially for those who may be struggling to balance caregiving and their own busy lives. Some of the topics I'll be covering include identifying and avoiding caregiver burnout, care for the caregiver, and exploring solutions and resources. So let's first distinguish what caregiving is. You know, a lot of people fall or default into the role, and some people don't even look at themselves or consider themselves a caregiver. But I think it's important to define the role. There's a reason that there are so many books and websites and resources, including podcasts, dedicated to caregiving. So according to the Family Caregiver Alliance, or caregiver.org, a caregiver, sometimes called an informal caregiver, is an unpaid individual, typically a relative, a spouse, or an adult child, involved in assisting others with activities of daily living and medical tasks. Also, formal caregivers are paid providers that assist people in their own home or in a care setting. So let's talk some numbers about caregiving. There's an estimated 44 million Americans age 18 and older that provide unpaid assistance and support to older adults and those with disabilities who still live in the community. Unfortunately, evidence shows that most of those caregivers are ill-prepared for that role and provide care with little or no support from anyone else. And more than one-third of those caregivers continue to provide care while suffering from their own health issues. A few other numbers. As a response to increased stress, caregivers are also shown to have increased alcohol and other types of substance abuse. Several studies have shown that caregivers use prescription and psychotropic drugs more than non-caregivers do to combat things like depression and anxiety. Research also shows that female caregivers, who comprise about two-thirds of all unpaid caregivers, fare worse than men do, reporting higher levels of depression and anxiety and lower levels of subjective well-being, life satisfaction, and just overall health. Estimates also show that somewhere between 40 and 70% of caregivers have clinically significant symptoms of depression, with approximately a quarter to half of those caregivers meeting the diagnostic criteria for major depression. Pretty scary. So, how do you know that you're under caregiving stress? Well, there's some flags that might go up. You may have family or friends, or you may yourself begin to notice a difference in your mood, your health, and your overall well-being. Your caregiving duties are interfering with your work and your relationships. Maybe the caregiver's health and wellness is declining, or the person you're caring for. Or the person you're caring for may ask for a change. They may recognize that you are struggling as their caregiver, and they may suggest a change. Also, you may have a healthcare professional that recommends you getting help or maybe changing things up a bit, like a physician or a therapist. And then lastly, this is sort of a generalization, but just things are unraveling as the caregiver. It's just becoming overwhelming and really difficult. So going from caregiver stress to the next step is caregiver burnout. How do you tell if that's happening, or what are some of the signs? Well, some intense and reoccurring feelings of anger, sadness, worry, or fear. You may have trouble sleeping. You may have drastic weight changes, typically weight gain, and other unexplained health issues. Again, I mentioned earlier, alcohol abuse, drug abuse, other vices become coping mechanisms to get over the stress. Mentioned earlier about work issues. You may be getting negative feedback from work for poor performance or missing a lot of work time. Or you may no longer find pleasure in the things that you once enjoyed. You or your loved one that you're caring for might feel isolated, trapped, or even hopeless. And again, I mentioned earlier, relationships. Maybe you're starting to have marital problems, or the relationships around you are getting worse because the stress of caregiving has taken over. So what can we do to combat this stress? You know, what can we do to relieve burnout or to avoid burnout? So let's move on to care for the caregiver. First, the golden rule. Then we'll talk about some caregiving basics. Then we'll talk about some supplemental solutions to make caregiving a little less stressful and demanding. And finally, we'll look at some community resources that are available as well. So first, the golden rule. Very simply, you need to take care of you first. You cannot care for others if you are not well yourself. We always use the example of the airplane oxygen masks. Now, if you've flown recently, and maybe with COVID you haven't, but if you recall in the past flying, and the flight attendant does their safety demo, they mention that if the oxygen mask deploys in case of emergency, you should put yours on first before you help anyone else around you that needs your assistance. Again, very simply, you need to take care of yourself so you're strong enough and able enough to help those that need your help. So how do you take care of you first? Well, here are a few examples. Number one, eat right. Now, I know this is easier said than done, but weight gain and stress eating can be a major issue for some caregivers. Number two, find ways to exercise. Again, easier said than done, but ideas like using a stationary bike next to the TV while your loved one is watching TV, taking your loved one on a walk, you know, having them either sit in a wheelchair or walking beside them. Lots of different apps that you can track your steps and set goals for yourself. Next, follow doctor's orders. Make and keep your appointments. Often, too often, we see caregivers neglect their own health in order to get their loved ones the care that they need or to the appointments that they need. If they take a day off, it's for their loved one's appointment and not their own. Some more ideas. Practice stress reduction tips. Do things like meditate or do yoga. Or take restful breaks. Read. Nap. Sit outside and enjoy Mother Nature. Maintain or start a hobby. Painting. Learning a new language. Playing an instrument. Something that gets your mind off of the stress and something that you enjoy. And then lastly, and very importantly, maintain your social connections. You know, stay active with clubs, groups, or with your social circle. Now, I know that's a little challenging right now in COVID times, but you can also use technology like Facebook and Zoom to maintain those social connections. So let's talk about some basics for caregivers. You really need to take a problem-solving approach to caregiving. Have a care plan. People spend more time planning a vacation or researching and vetting vendors for a home renovation than we do planning our loved one's care. Another thing is to accept or ask for help from family, friends, neighbor. Don't let pride get in your way. And remember, people will stop asking to help you if you keep on turning them away. Find healthy emotional outlets. Again, do activities that really bring you joy. Also, this is important, especially nowadays with COVID and just a lot of people needing to work from home, but let your employer know your situation. Keying them in on your caregiving duties can help alleviate work stress. Some employers even offer free counseling, and others offer caregiving support programs. Another thing you can do is a home safety and fall prevention check. Make sure the home is safe for you and your loved one. The last thing you want to do is injure yourself or your loved one if the home is not free of clutter, well lit. Lots of different things you can do to make the home safer. And then lastly, and we'll talk a little bit more in detail about this in a moment, but use community-based resources and solutions. So let's talk about some of those solutions that exist out there. So supplemental solutions that you can bring into the home. Non-medical home care can be a great supplement to the care that you're providing. They can literally and figuratively do some of the heavy lifting by helping with bathing, dressing, cooking, grocery shopping, laundry, housekeeping, you name it. You also have medical home health care, which provides medical services into the home, like visiting nurses and therapists. Next, you have hospice, which provides pain management and care for those deemed terminally ill. They can really help someone stay at home, or help you help them stay at home to the very end. Also, home modification and technology. Now, I know some are averse to technology, but fall detection systems and cameras and even products like Zoom can improve the communication and safety for those at home. Also, making changes to the home with ramps and first floor bathrooms, bedrooms, and other medical equipment can make the home a safer and more user-friendly environment. Another great program that exists out there are adult day services. They offer a day program where a loved one can get the care, attention, and the activity they need during the day while the caregiver is working or just simply taking a break. But at the end of the day, they can come home. And these programs typically run Monday through Friday and are very flexible and also very affordable too. Another idea is getting outpatient therapy, you know, getting a prescription from their doctor. Maintaining and improving strength and endurance is vital to helping your loved one stay healthy and also more active in the home. And then lastly, we have a program here in Pennsylvania called LIFE, Living Independence for the Elderly. And this is kind of a hybrid program. It mixes the adult day services that I mentioned earlier with a medical component. Clients who are most often appropriate for a nursing home can go to the LIFE program during the day and again return home at night, giving the caregiver a much needed break on weekdays. So we talked about some solutions to alleviate some of the stress that can come into the home. Next, we're going to talk a little bit about some solutions that are in a care setting. So first off, respite care. Respite care allows a loved one to stay for several weeks while the caregiver is away. Maybe they're having surgery or they just need a break from caregiving. A 3 or 4 week respite can really be a great option. Another option is short-term inpatient rehab. Again, if you have a loved one that has been recently hospitalized and coming directly home is an issue, they need some therapy, that's a great option as well. Now, next comes some more permanent options. As a caregiver, this can be very emotional and a heart-wrenching decision, but sometimes a caregiver's best efforts just aren't enough. So choosing a personal care home for them to move into is the safest and probably the most logical choice. Again, caregivers may feel guilty, especially if they've made a promise to mom or dad to never place them. But as we talked about earlier, caregiver burnout in an unsafe home environment absolutely warrants a change. Plus, for many, isolation, boredom, and lack of socialization, especially during COVID, makes staying at home certainly less desirable. So some of these more permanent options, the first would be a personal care home or assisted living residence, which provides care and assistance with activities of daily living like bathing and dressing, laundry, 3 meals a day, medication monitoring, supervisory care, along with activities and socialization opportunities. Also, memory care. For those that have a dementia diagnosis. This often is available in a personal care home or assisted living and offers everything I just mentioned a moment ago in personal care, but again, incorporates supportive care for those with a dementia diagnosis like Alzheimer's. And lastly is nursing care. This provides 24-hour round-the-clock nursing along with regular physician visits for those who are chronically ill, medically complex, and or bedbound. So this is really difficult. Having to place a loved one is not easy, but for some caregivers, it becomes a necessity. And for others, it allows them to go back to just being the loving daughter or son who now gets to enjoy quality time with their parent rather than serving as caregiver, driver, personal shopper, housekeeper, and in some situations, their entertainment. So we talked about some resources in the community, some placement opportunities or resources. There are also some additional resources out there that I want to mention. First is the caregiver support groups. You can find those all over the place throughout the state, throughout the country. But locally, you can contact the Pennsylvania Department of Aging or your local area agency on aging in your state for local groups, locations, and times. For those living, again, in the central Pennsylvania area, you can contact the Alzheimer's Association and call their helpline. In fact, this would be nationally 1-800-272-3900. Another option is the Pennsylvania Caregiver Support Program. Again, if you're listening from another state, you may want to check again with your local Department of Aging, but this provides primary caregivers with a break from caregiving. Also, reimbursement for out-of-pocket costs associated with caregiving, things like services, supplies, education, training, and counseling. The program aims to alleviate the stresses associated with caregiving by focusing on the well-being of the caregiver. And here in Pennsylvania, again, you can go online and visit dhs.pa.gov or call 717-783-1550. And then lastly, home and community-based programs, HCBS, offers financial assistance based on eligibility here in Pennsylvania. And they offer a variety of waiver programs to help offset the cost of things such as hands-on care and home modification. Again, contact the Pennsylvania Department of Human Services, the Office of Long-Term Living, and the number there is 1-800-753-8827. Some other great resources out there that you can check out are actually online. You can go online and Google caregiver stress or caregiver assistance, and there you'll pull up a lot. But in particular, there are a number of websites that I recommend to people, and I'll mention a few of those, and I'll also put them in the show notes as well. AgingCare.com, the Alzheimer's Association, ALZ.org/CareFinder, caregiver.com, caregivingstress.com, caring.com, the one I mentioned earlier, Family Caregiver Alliance at caregiver.org, lots and lots of different online resources that can provide tips and insight and statistics and other resources that you can reach out to online as well. So I provided a lot of information here. But some of the takeaways that I would recommend, please take care of yourself as a caregiver. You cannot care for the person that needs your help if you are not well yourself. Also, reach out and get help. Again, whether it's other family members or friends or paid caregiving resources that are out there, or potentially to consider placement if that is necessary. But there are a lot of tools and resources out there. It's just a matter of looking for them and sometimes knowing where to find them. And I've provided a lot of those resources. And again, I will put some of that information on the show notes. So once again, thank you for listening. And if you are a caregiver, you are doing an incredible and commendable thing. But please know that there are resources out there for you and to consider some of those resources. Thanks once again for listening to the Caregiver's Corner.
If you've enjoyed what you've heard, please be sure to subscribe to the Caregiver's Corner and never miss an episode. Or if you have an idea or a topic you'd like us to cover, please contact us at area code 717-591-7225. Thanks again for listening.